Over 44,000 hours of security footage of the United States Capitol on January 6, 2021 has yet to be released. But it's not the Democrats this time fighting the footage from being made public. I'm Scotty Nell Hughes, and on this episode of 360 View, we're going to look at the latest developments being made public regarding the events, who was involved on the attack on Capitol Hill, and what impact this will have on future protests in the United States. Let's get started. Two months after the defeat of President Trump, and just days before President Biden was to be inaugurated, Americans gathered in Washington, D.C. to protest what they thought was an election filled with voter irregularities and stolen by the radical left Democrats. Now, the hope was to persuade Congress and then Vice President Mike Pence to not certify the Electoral College results. However, when a fraction of the rally attendees on the Washington Mall marched to Capitol Hill and clashed with Capitol Hill police, a legal, peaceful protest evolved into an angry mob. Only one person died on January 6th, and it was an unarmed protester and veteran. This is where the facts of the day, even 2 years later, start to be challenged, as January 6th was quickly turned into a popular weapon used by Democrats the last 3 years to demonize anything related to Donald J. Trump and his supporters. Now, the former president is now facing a case in Washington, D.C., alleging he was actually responsible for inciting the violence. Prosecutor Jack Smith is attempting to subpoena anyone who even liked a Trump tweet before January 6th. Now, this is infuriating Republican lawmakers like Louisiana Representative Clay Higgins.
Let me say, regarding Jack Smith and his request for another list of American citizens under some alleged legitimate investigative effort, I consider it a badge of honor to be on another one of Jack Smith's list. So I just say that his days are numbered.
But newly elected Speaker of the House Mike Johnson is making good on his campaign promise to release the videotapes. Now, Congress is posting more than 44,000 hours of security footage taken during the January 6th riot on a new public website over the next several months. Now, the videos will blur the faces of private citizens, all to ensure no one is targeted for retaliation of any kind. Roughly 5% of the video footage will not be posted due to sensitive security information related to the building architecture. And as information continues to be revealed about the day, mainly through the release of security footage and personal videos, doubt is being shed on whether this protest, which began as peaceful, was instigated to become violent.
The release of the January 6th tapes is a critical and important exercise. We want transparency. We should demand it. The American people do. We trust, House Republicans trust the American people to draw their own conclusions. They should not be dictated by some narrative and accept that as fact, so they can review the tapes themselves.
Let's discuss the latest about January 6th and the impact it is having on the 2024 election with our panel. Political analyst Robert Petillo and Malik Abdul. And Larry Ward, who is the chair of the Constitutional Rights PAC. Thank you, gentlemen, for joining me on this. So I'm actually going to start with our Democrat on the panel. Robert, should Democrats continue to make January 6th one of their main talking points against Donald Trump and his supporters? Is it working for the party?
I think so. And I think more importantly, we have to ensure something like January 6th never happens again. That if we start normalizing this and simply saying, well, it was a peaceful protest that got a little bit out of hand, and that's, you know, there was a guy in a Viking hat on the Senate floor reading through Ted Cruz's paperwork, well, then that means everyone gets to do that whenever there's a contest to the election. And I challenge people to say that that was thousands of Muslim Americans breaking into the Capitol and reading the Quran on the Senate floor, would we be saying, well, it's just a peaceful protest that went awry, or that was Black Lives Matter storming the Capitol and flying a red, black, and green flag the same way they had a Confederate flag parading through the Capitol, that we'd be saying that was just simply a peaceful protest gone awry? If we do not set a precedent now that this is not how America settles elections, then we will no longer have elections in America. So I'm all for getting to the bottom of things. I think many of us were disappointed in the January 6th commission because it focused so much on President Trump. It didn't focus on the role of law enforcement because we saw the videos of people removing barricades and letting people in. We saw the videos of people.
So you'll admit that as a Democrat, that happened. Doors were open,
barricades. There's
you might be the first Democrat I've heard actually admitted that.
Particularly in the base, and particularly if you talk to black people, we will say there's no way you just ran in there without the help of people who are inside. President Trump said before the election, we have law enforcement behind us, we have the bikers, we have the truckers, we have the military behind us, we got all the tough guys. And then on January 6th, we saw exactly that. So the investigation needs to be exactly how deep that rot goes and how deep the penetration was that allowed this to happen, because there's no way for anyone to credibly believe that people just walked into the Capitol because they broke a window and stormed in there. And I think the American people still want to know exactly what happened on that day.
Okay, so at least you'll admit that side of it. Larry Ward, President candidate Vivek Ramaswamy, he brought out in a recent interview how the footage shows the Capitol Police opening the doors. But here was the new one that's come out, that unless you were close to people that were there that day and they told you it, we now know they were shooting rubber bullets and tear gas into the crowd. Does this change the perception of those who were a part of January 6th, as the footage we've seen was the reaction?
Of course. And look, we ought to see another January 6th, because what it was a peaceful protest. There's no question in my mind that's what it was. It was a protest. And listen, you can't look at January 6th in a vacuum either. You know, there were definitely voting irregularities. I believe the election was stolen. A lot of Americans believe the election was stolen. Matter of fact, one of the highest percentage of people that believe the election is stolen are Democrats in inner cities. I ran a poll on it, and it was one of the highest percentage of people, because they see elections being stolen all the time in these inner cities. So, of course, they believe the election was stolen in 2020. But you look at what happened, and there was not just it was not just January 6th. It was all of the cases that we brought, where the judges threw a case out for no apparent reason. There is no way a judge can say there was no election fraud. There is no way that Bill Barr can say, after 2 days of investigating with two investigators, saying that there was no election fraud. There is no way that could happen that they closed the case. And then we had two other Stop the Steal protests, where we brought millions of people very peacefully to D.C. and said, stop the steal. We brought them to the Supreme Court. We brought them the two Stop the Steal rallies with a million people each. They patted us on the head and said, nice protest. Now we're going to do what we want. And that's why January 6th happened. There was a lot of pent-up frustration about the getting ignored, having one of the most important elections in our lifetime, you know, stolen in the minds of all of those protesters, and just being ignored and being pacified and being told, you don't know what you're talking about, when we did know what we were talking about. So look, did we go there angry? Yeah, we went there angry. It was a lot of pent up anger, but yes, for sure, I was there on the ground. I choked on the gas. They threw rubber bullets. They threw tear gas. It was provoked by the Capitol Police. There is no question in my mind. I saw people who came out immediately and said they just started firing canisters at us. And it was a provoked incident. They took a peaceful protest. They riled up the crowd. They got the crowd even angrier than they were. And then they let them in the Capitol so that they could take all the video and photo and arrest,
Larry,
American citizens.
But I have to ask you, and this goes to Robert's point, who did this? Who, you know, Robert says, obviously, law enforcement needs to be investigated how deep the rot is. Is it law enforcement? Who was the one that was shooting this into the crowd? Who was the one do you think should be held accountable for those actions? As we did see them on necessarily the recent pro-Palestinian protests that have happened on Capitol Hill. We haven't seen them at other protests. We didn't see them on the Women's March when there were fights that broke out. We saw it in this case. So who is the one that should be held responsible for things like rubber bullets being shot into the crowd? And is this the law enforcement, or do you think there's a higher power involved?
Oh, I think there's a higher power. But look, there were hundreds of FBI agents on the ground.
Okay, here's my question. What's the proof of that? But what's the proof of that? And this is the question that Vivek keeps getting handled for, and I'm going to get to the other. But what is the proof that there were FBI agents, do you believe, on the ground there?
Oh, there were definitely undercover agents on the ground on January 6th. Look, you see video of law enforcement, identified law enforcement people, you know, instigating the crowd. You see, of course, you know, the going into the Capitol from that guy who kind of was given a slap on the wrist, and only because you know, he became a, I can't remember his name, sorry off the top of my head, but he became the focus of the incident. But there's 44,000 hours of video. We can find out exactly what happened, and you can look at the time in terms of when the police attacked the crowd, and you can look at the you know, we can get a list of all of the FBI agents and informants that were in the ground. We just have to continue to investigate this, and this is important, because here's why: there has not been another conservative protest of any consequence on Capitol Hill, and there's lots of things to protest. We are not going to go back to the people's house because we're afraid we're going to get arrested.
And Larry, that is Biden a point. And that's a government. Point we're going to talk about. I want to talk about Malik. You're in an interesting position. You live in Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. This is your city. You love the city. You also are Republican. You're conservative. You saw the events on January 6th. You have it. Do you think the truth has been allowed to be out there? And why or why not?
Well, I can say, as you said, I live here in Washington, D.C. I've been here for about 20 years.
You weren't there, though. You did not go down.
Nope, I did not go there on January 6th, but I think I could probably speak for not just Washington, D.C., but inner cities all around the country, and that we don't believe that the election was stolen. I think we can say that. But on January 6th, and I do agree with Larry, I actually attended the very first rally, which was the millions, it was like a millions MAGA march or something. That was in November of 2021. It was absolutely peaceful. There was another rally that occurred.
That was a week after the election.
That was a week after the election. There was another rally that occurred sometime in December. January 6th was the third rally. So as to the question of why didn't people expect it to be violent, because the first two were not violent at all. There were security failures all around the board, but I don't think that there was anything deliberate behind it. We know that D.C.'s mayor, Muriel Bowser, requested on December 30th, unarmed National Guard troops to actually deal with things like, traffic violations and controlling traffic. She wanted them unarmed because of what happened just that summer, where there was a national discourse around whether or not the law enforcement was too heavy-handed in dealing with the Black Lives Matter protesters. So she requested unarmed National Guard troops. The question on how did they get inside, it could be easily answered, because the House Sergeant at Arms, who controls security of the Capitol, that is their role. Someone had to give a stand down order, meaning the video that we saw of people walking into the Capitol, I just can't believe that someone didn't say, well, we need to just let them come in. If there was no type of contingency plan for an event like that, where if something happens, you don't lock the doors, because these weren't, all of these doors lock. They were not locked.
And they're heavy doors. They're thick doors.
You saw people walking in. So someone said, don't engage with them. Don't even lock the doors. And I think we need to get to the bottom of that. And I think that's an easily answered question. Someone said, stand down. And that's not something that any of us here will be able to answer.
Okay, we're going to continue this engagement. Robert Patillo, Malik Abdul, Larry Ward, hold it. Let's take a quick break, because when we come back, we're going to look at the role the FBI played in January 6th and why this is not much different from what U.S. intelligence agencies have been playing a role in protest in other foreign countries.
Из националистических батальонов они сразу пришли на Донбасс убивать, пришли на Донбасс грабить, насиловать.
Это были пытки, это были очень жесткие допросы. То есть людей ломали конкретно.
Украинские националисты не воспринимали жителей Востока Украины в качестве полноценных украинцев.
Для чего они убили вот эту женщину, мою мать? Разве она жить не хотела? Хотела жить. Интересно, их мамы хотят жить?
Больше 90% пришло на референдум и проголосовало в поддержку Донецкой Народной Республики.
Welcome back. I'm Skynell Hughes, and you're watching the 360 View. Now, the Central Intelligence Agency is supposed to collect, evaluate, and disseminate vital information on economic, military, political, scientific, and other developments abroad to protect the national security of the United States. However, there has been multiple countries who have accused the CIA of playing a significant role in popular protests within their own borders. In 2022, Iran's Islamic Republic's intelligence ministry and the Intelligence Organization of the Revolutionary Guard issued a joint statement claiming the CIA had a significant role in the protest following the death of Mahsa Amini. The Chinese media accused the CIA of being behind extreme acts by Hong Kong protesters in 2019. And there's Operation Timber Sycamore in 2013. It was a secret program which eventually led to the Syrian Civil War. This isn't anything new, because back in the 1950s, the CIA was a part of Operation Chaos and found Cuban exiles who could be used in the campaign against President Fidel Castro. So did the FBI just take a lesson from their fellow intelligence agency and apply it domestically? But why? Well, let's continue this discussion with our panel, political analysts Robert Petillo and Malik Abdul, Larry Ward, who is the chair of the Constitutional Rights PAC. I didn't get a chance to get back to you, Robert. You heard from the first segment what they were saying. I love the fact that we have kind of, you have ones that, you know, we can talk about. I think you could separate, was the election stolen versus the events of January 6th? I think both need to be looked at separately. Granted, cause and effect. But do you believe the FBI was actually involved in the January 6th protest? Was it an inside job, as the Republicans continue to try to talk about?
This is where the inside job falls apart, that Donald Trump was president. And he had his own FBI director, and he had his own attorney general, and he was in charge of the FBI at the time and had been so for 4 years. And so the idea that there was an inside job that's been just metastasizing inside the FBI over the course of 4 years, waiting for January 6th to foment itself and then kind of explode upon the world, really doesn't make a lot of sense. Because if Donald Trump was the insurgent candidate trying to win election versus being the incumbent, it might make a little bit more sense. But when you have your own FBI, your own FBI director, your own Department of Justice, and you're the person in charge of the federal government, the idea that there's a inside job against you kind of falls apart. Now, what we have said for decades now is that the FBI, CIA have been involved in COINTEL programs against African American communities, even during the Black Lives Matter protest rallies. We had mysterious people in black masks showing up with pallets of bricks that just descended upon black communities and all of a sudden escalated riots into violent riots. We still don't know who burned down the Minneapolis police station, for example. If you look at Cop City in Atlanta, where protesters from as far away as Ottawa, Canada, and California just showed up and started shooting at law enforcement. So we know that these things do indeed happen to protests within African-American communities and other communities, but this conceptualization that Donald Trump's own FBI turned against him, particularly when we have the videos of law enforcement opening gates, opening doors, giving tours around the Capitol to these individuals, it seems more like it's an inside job the other way. But I'm interested in hearing I'm all for good conspiracy theory. It just all has to line up for it. Like, I believe in Bigfoot. I believe in Loch Ness Monster. It's just all going to make a little bit of sense.
I get that. Common sense. You lay out your case common sense-wise, and that's something conservatives often say. Just look at common sense side of it. Larry, I know you want to interject here. I really want to get to Malik real quick. Malik, your response.
I do not believe that it was an inside job. I think this was something that actually organically happened. And even if we look at the actual charges.
Was the FBI behind Trump, as he says, since it was under Trump? Do you believe that the FBI has been on Trump's side from day one?
No. Well, there is evidence. And we've even had people who were Donald Trump appointed to positions who were in the federal government who penned anonymous op-eds talking about what they were doing in the federal government in order to actually stop the, you know, dictator Donald Trump from doing things. There were people within federal government who were working against federal government, Donald Trump. We know that as a fact. But as far as the FBI's involvement in this, yes, all around the world, the federal government is involved in protests. I wouldn't be surprised if there were FBI informants in the protests. But I really think because of the very first two rallies that were peaceful, there was really no reason for this to be for let's take January 6th then to be the inside job, as opposed to the very peaceful previous rallies, which was an extension of what we saw on January 6th. So I don't think that it was an inside job, and there's no evidence to suggest that it was an inside job.
But Larry, to Malik's point on that, there had already been two protests. You basically showed how things were going to run. Did you already go on and give them, was there already kind of like, here's the schedule, you know what's going to happen. If you want to do something nefarious, go for it.
Yeah, well, absolutely, Robert. Come on, that the FBI was on Trump's side? I'm sitting here listening to you. I know you don't really believe that. The FBI, the same FBI that did the Russia collusion hoax, the same FBI, the lovers, the whole nine yards. You can't believe the FBI was on Trump's side, particularly after he fired Comey. You know, this is a completely ridiculous statement that it was Trump's FBI. Trump was an enemy of the FBI, and quite frankly, the FBI is an enemy of the American people today. And so we have to look at what actually happened there. Yes, there were FBI informants. It will come out. I have no doubt about it. And you know, the left's favorite argument is there's no evidence. They keep saying it with Hunter and Joe Biden. There's plenty of evidence. There's plenty of evidence that there was FBI. There's plenty of evidence that there was an inside job. It just has not been adjudicated. We have not had a real trial looking at what actually happened on January 6th. The only thing we had was the Liz Cheney sham January 6th hearing, where they didn't have any real Republicans. You can call Liz Cheney a Republican. She's not. That was the only hearing that we had, was one side where they clipped videos and made it look worse than it actually was. So, you know,
Republicans have been in charge of the House for a few years now. They could have had their own January 6th hearing the last year or so. Instead, they've gone through like a half dozen speakers and they've launched an impeachment inquiry. If they wanted to get to the bottom of it, they have every power in the federal government to be able to do so. They haven't done that. So how is it that we are still claiming there's evidence out there, but then when given the chance to adjudicate that evidence, they just decide not to?
Well, first of all, they don't, you know, the House does not have the power to go through 44,000 hours of video, which is why releasing it is the right answer. You release it, you let the crowd look at it, you pull out the important evidence, you pull out the important timestamps, particularly when things were like you said, Capitol Police was throwing gas canisters and rubber bullets in the crowd to agitate them. You can look and see that, you know, who's actually instigating people, saying we go into the Capitol, we do some background checks. There's time. This is not going to be adjudicated in this cycle. It's going to be when President Trump takes office again and actually says, look, we got to get to the bottom of what happened in 2020, and we have to get to the bottom of what happened on January 6th. And that's when maybe the truth will come out. I'm not confident that that'll happen. I'm not confident that they're going to go back and look. But I think it's important to do so, particularly because we have to tell the American people who have been afraid of their government, afraid to voice their opinion at the people's house, to come back and that you have real rights and that you are protected and that the government made a horrendous, terrible mistake going in a tyrannical direction and rounding up grandma and grandpa for no apparent reason.
Well, and that's what I want to end this conversation with, is talk about the effects moving forward on it, because he's right. You have not seen, you saw the March for Life. I think you saw a gathering a little bit about Roe versus Wade a few months ago. You really have not seen a large-scale conservative protest or even a liberal protest. Do you think this has changed protest in Washington, D.C., a city that has been made famous throughout history for protest against injustices? Robert?
I don't think so. I think what people have learned is, don't break into the Speaker of the House office and smear feces on the wall, and don't steal the lectern. I think that if we can set that as being the general rules of how a peaceful protest goes, I think people understand that. But what we have still seen, we've seen the pro-Palestinian marches taking place.
Got violent, though.
They got violent, but they did not try to storm the Capitol. And I think that, takeaway has been that when you're having a protest, even if there is controversy, even if there is some level of discourse or interaction with police officers, that people understand what the parameters are. And I think that's been the guardrails that have been set by the January 6th events. I don't think they've dissuaded people from speaking against their government. I just think people have realized that, well, maybe there's a limit to where this can go.
Larry, will you do another protest here on the Capitol?
Yeah, I want to, but quite frankly, no one's going to come. I speak to conservatives, prominent conservatives, and they're like, no, we would not go back to the Capitol. Why would I risk my freedom? You know, people have been were hunted down like animals and arrested because they were led into the Capitol and walked around and stayed in the lines of the whole nine yards. So, you know, Alwin Schreier was not even there. He was not even there. He was arrested and imprisoned. This has been the most egregious, abuse of power we've ever seen in American history. And you know what they said? They kept saying it was an armed protest. You know what the January 6th committee's reason for calling it an armed protest was? Is because the protesters brought flags with flagpoles into the Capitol. That was the justification, because people weren't going into the Capitol.
Larry,
with guns.
We're going to talk about some egregious abuses of in American history by the government. Black folks and Native Americans would like to check into the chat and give you a couple things to look at, because there have been a lot worse things that what happened on January 6th that have happened to other communities. I'm glad everyone else is catching up to what happened. But if you look at COINTELPRO, the assassination of civil rights leaders, the jailing of political prisoners, there's still people in jail from the 1960s for only political speech. So I'm glad you guys have joined the chat and seen what's happened than everybody else, but I don't think we can say January 6th the worst thing that's happened in this country.
Well, and I think the difference is that was one day compared to, like you said, a movement that obviously had atrocity after atrocity committed to it, Robert. But I appreciate this conversation. Obviously, it's going to continue until we actually get the truth, but who knows if that will actually happen anytime soon. Thank you for joining me, Robert Petillo, Malik Abdul, and Larry Ward. There has been no greater event in recent history, I believe, which has damaged the trust and integrity of the United States government than January 6th. Politicians and pundits want to blame it on the people who were involved. However, it's the government and how they handled the events of the day, their involvement and their political weaponization, which has followed and continues to erode people's faith in the government. Edited videos slowly being released to the public, partisan hearings, which turn into shouting matches, and the ignoring of facts, which refute the original claims of the day, only adds to the stress. With unclear answers as to whether the FBI was involved, I mean, it's a simple yes or no, and in what capacity, it's no wonder why there is frustration at why the truth cannot be simply stated. I don't agree with anything which happened on January 6th. For me personally, I assessed ahead of time there was going to be a high risk of something going wrong. But there were good people who came to Washington, D.C. on that day, and all they wanted to do was express their constitutional right to peacefully protest. And even though they never took one step towards the Capitol, their lives for the past 3 years have been lived in fear they would be falsely accused and find law enforcement dramatically showing up at their place of work or at their home. It is completely motivated by politics as to why the full truth about January 6th has not been released. Don't be fooled. If this is about protecting democracy or security, if this was the true intention, then there would be nothing to hide, and all the facts, the footage would be released immediately to justify the position taken by either party. Yet, here Americans sit waiting for the next nugget of information to drop, all to connect the dots of the day in hopes of creating a clear picture and moving on. And this is a tactic which has been used by both Democrats and Republicans, which somewhat consider to be alarming. Unfortunately, I consider it to be the standard. I'm Skye Nell Hughes, and this has been your 360 View. Thanks for watching.